LCMS Rural and Small Town mission exists to support and encourage congregations in rural and small town settings. In partnership with LCMS districts, RSTM is uniquely positioned to make a major impact in revitalization support, community engagement and outreach training, congregational partnership development, and worker support through providing and developing resources geared specifically to rural and small town congregations. Check us out at lcms.org/RSTM. That's lcms.org/RSTM.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Well, the story of Joseph in the Old Testament is, it's tragedy to begin with. It's a dysfunctional family, and it is the kind of rivalry between siblings that is, it makes the harshest of sibling rivalry in our experience look pretty pale most of the time. We have this one brother who just cannot seem to keep himself on the right side of his brothers, while the whole time he remains his father's favorite, because he was born to the favorite wife, the one he always wanted. And here is this son he always wanted. All the other sons are standing around, perhaps feeling like chopped liver, and they decide to do something about it. Joseph's brothers decide to get rid of him, to, in essence, by the time their plot has taken full shape, to fake his death. Now, this leads to no end of trouble for Joseph. We're going to be talking about Joseph both this week and in the coming weeks as we teach a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker. Pastor Tom Baker will be with us here as we look at Genesis chapter 37. He's a regular guest, host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Yeah, thank you, Todd.
What's the overall purpose of taking the better part of Genesis, the latter part of the book, and to tell this one guy's story, Joseph's story? It's interesting. It's fascinating. I mean, they've made Broadway musicals out of it, but what's the point of the story we're going to begin with you today?
I believe the main point here is all about Jesus. Even though the name Jesus doesn't appear to be found anywhere, except that Jesus begins with a J and Joseph begins with a J, it's quite interesting how throughout the entire chapter of 37, nothing is mentioned about the sinfulness of Joseph. And I believe that Joseph becomes kind of a parallel to Jesus. I like to go over this later on in the program. The similarities between Joseph and Jesus, all the way to the point that when the brothers did what they did to him, and then they come back to Egypt because they need food, and then their father dies, and they're really worried now that Joseph is going to get even with them. I think one of the most important texts in the Bible, and this could be the theme for the next few weeks I'm with you, is Genesis 50, verse 20. Here's what Joseph says. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. And I believe that God gave Joseph certain indications that while he was going through this terrible time of being taken away by the Ishmaelites, being under Potiphar, being in prison, etc., he remembered those two dreams that he had where his brothers and his family would be bowing before him. So he knew there was something bigger that God had prepared for him. And we need to get that across to the Sunday school children. They need to see the big picture in their life, whether or not you're talking about their vocations of maybe being a son or a daughter or a brother, a sister, a grandchild, a student, a sports player, a musical instrument. They may be in a band. God has put them there for a particular purpose, and they may not see all the fullness of that purpose when they're just students in a Sunday school, but that's the goal of the Sunday school teacher, to say that God is preparing for you to be his arms, his legs, his voice, even in bringing other people into the church.
So are you saying that a possible way of reading this entire story is that Joseph essentially hears a promise in these dreams we're going to talk about today?
Yes.
That sustains him. He says, okay, I'm going to, regardless of what happens to him, I'm going to, and regardless of whether he can figure out how it's all going to play out toward that end, he knows it's going to end this way. God has promised him in these dreams it will. And so in the end, he is able to say, now I see how all of this fit within God's plan to fulfill that promise to me.
I think that's how we understand Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. Sometimes things happen and you just wonder why, and maybe God will not give you the reason. You were talking a little bit about that in the previous program, but we let God be God, and yet we still have the trust that he sees the big picture and therefore is doing something for us that is far greater than we can see with our sight, and therefore we believe with our faith. And that's what Joseph seemed never to have lost, namely that faith and trust in a wonderful God. And even though he may not have explained the horrible things that were happening to him at the time, he kept that faith. And therefore, when he was faced with the opportunity of getting even with his brothers, he wasn't able to do so because of his understanding of how merciful and gracious God was towards him.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We'll take a break, and when we come back on this Monday, August the 31st, we'll get into those dreams that Joseph has that so sustain him but infuriate his brothers in Genesis chapter 37. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson. Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc.
Any dream will do. I wore my coat with golden lining, bright colors shining, wonderful and new.
Our school is committed to authentic Lutheranism, the entire Book of Concord, and indeed to authentic Lutheranism as it has continued to be confessed and practiced through the centuries right up into our own time.
Dr. Cameron McKenzie, chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We're committed then to biblical, confessional Christianity and Lutheranism and applying it to the world of today in as effective a way as we can.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
The Lord has gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. These gifts can be received every week at both Grace Lutheran Church and Trinity Lutheran Church in Wichita, Kansas. Join us for divine services at Grace on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m., as well as every Wednesday at 11 a.m., or at Trinity every Sunday at 11 a.m. Grace is located at 3310 East Pawnee and Trinity at 611 South Erie. Gather with us around our Lord and His giving His gifts to us. See you soon.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
A mobile Lutheran Bible study. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In Hosea 4, we read, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." At the CLCC, we educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Christians would if they learned what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website at theclcc.org. See what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And encourage your pastors to hold an event in your area. For more information, go to theclcc.org.
Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? AdCrucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with AdCrucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're in Genesis chapter 37, young Joseph's dreams. His brothers are already hating him, but then he starts telling them his dreams, and pretty soon they're ready to kill him, or at least to come as close to killing him as they can. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson. Let's talk about the animosity. The real root of the animosity between Joseph and his brothers actually starts before the dreams. It starts with the father's favoritism of Joseph. Talk about that, if you would, Tom.
Yeah, just before that, I want to, I guess, congratulate Craig for getting Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat by Andrew Lloyd Webber. That is a much better opera than Jesus Christ Superstar, and it talks quite a bit of what you just asked me about, namely the hatred of his brothers. But can you imagine having a family, and there's four children in it, two boys and two girls, and the second boy is always getting presents from the parents, and the other kids aren't getting any present. How long is it going to take before they get pretty envious at him? And maybe the second boy is taken out to baseball games or hockey games, and the other kids never go out with the parents. They have a babysitter sitting at home. Well, this is kind of the situation that was found with Joseph. There was a Technicolor Dreamcoat or a multicolored Dreamcoat, which, by the way, and this was a good insight I hadn't known, the Growing in Christ points out that that probably was a coat of royalty, the way it's described, many colors, etc. And why would Jacob give Joseph this special coat and not to any of the other siblings? Well, Jacob had four wives from which the 12 sons came from, and it was Rachel who was his favorite wife. And she only had two children, Joseph, and he wasn't even the firstborn. Reuben was the firstborn, Joseph was the secondborn, and then Benjamin, during the birth, Rachel died. So there was a great love that Jacob had toward Joseph because he had been born of his favorite wife. And therefore, you can see why he kind of leaned toward Joseph and why the other brothers were getting more angry. Now, it's not that Jacob didn't recognize that, because after the dream that Joseph had, where he had, first of all, the binding sheaves in the field were bowing down to his sheaf, and then the second dream, where the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars were bowing down to him, even at that point, his father rebuked him, saying, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brothers indeed come to bow down ourselves to the ground before you?" And his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the saying in mind. So there was something the father knew was going on, but he wasn't quite sure about it. And this is a clear biblical account of why the other brothers became very jealous. And therefore, when they saw him walking towards them alone in this land, far away from his father had sent him to check out the brothers, their first inclination was to put him to death, because I believe he was wearing his coat of many colors when he was walking towards them.
So it's a hatred that is born of their father's favoritism. Then it is compounded by Joseph's dreams here.
Yeah.
It says his brothers hated him even more when they heard these dreams that were so transparently about his place first of all, his place among his brothers, and then secondly, his place even in the family. I mean, I think that's what probably gets Jacob's ire stirred up, is the first one just has sheaves, 11 sheaves. Then mom and dad are included as well.
And
those who will acknowledge him as kind of the head of the family, which he actually ends up being in time. So let's talk about the plot. It's kind of complicated, but they want first to kill him. Why don't they?
Well, actually, Reuben, he really is kind of concerned that if he is put to death, boy, oh boy, you know, dad's not going to like this at all. So he says in verse 22, shed no blood, throw him into this pit here in the wilderness, but do not lay a hand on him. And then Moses writes that he might rescue him out of their hand to restore him to his father. So they strip Joseph of that robe, the many colors that he wore. They took him and threw him into a pit. There was no water in it. Normally the pits do have water in it, but it was the time of the year when it was empty. And then this verse 25 is really interesting. Then they sat down to eat. And I'll tell you, it reminded me, and I don't know, depending on the age of the children, but this would definitely be for adults. Here you are hearing probably the cries of Joseph in the pit, and they could sit down to eat, reminding me of those Planned Parenthood people that could casually talk about what they did to children in the womb while they were eating a salad. I thought of that almost immediately, how callous these brothers were. That's how much hatred came about. And I would encourage the Sunday school teachers to ask the children, well, was there a time where you didn't like your brother or sister very much, maybe because of the way your parents treated them, or they got away with something you didn't? And have them talk that out, because unlike Joseph, who apparently was not that sinful in his attitude during this time towards his brothers, he was just reporting his dreams. With the children in the Sunday school, it could be because of sin that they are envious one to another, and it gives the Sunday school teacher something to point out and make it clear to them that that's what happens often in a family when we become envious or jealous of others.
Well, that's really telling what you pointed out there, and I hadn't noticed that before. I mean, notice the fact that they sat down to eat. But
yes,
if you play it out in your mind what it must have been like, here's this, the youngest of their brothers, with the exception of the little kid who's still at home. He's down there. He's probably crying out for his life. He's desperate. He knows that he might have been left there as a prank, or maybe they're going to leave him there to die, which seems to be the initial plan.
Yes.
And they just sit there and have the meal and probably yuck it up a little bit. How does the plan proceed from there?
Well, it shows again the depth of their insolence, that they figure, wait a minute, we can make some money off of this. Let's not kill him. And Judah said to his brothers, what profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother, our own flesh. And of course, they do this while Reuben is gone. And so after they sell Joseph for 20 shekels of silver, he's gone. Reuben returns, sees that Joseph is not in the pit, and he tears his clothes and says, the boy is gone. And listen to this. And I, where shall I go? You know, is it to go find Joseph? Or is he saying, boy, do I have to go back to dad and tell him what happened? And they kind of sense that. So they take Joseph's robe, they slaughter a goat, dip the robe in the blood of the goat, and take it back to the father, and then they say, we found this. Please identify whether it is your son's robe or not. This is a great example for the children that once you start going down the wrong path, namely, let's kill him, then you end up selling him, then you end up dipping his robe in blood, then you end up lying to your parents, the sin just grows and grows and grows. And by the way, children need to know that that's how God has set up the world, that consequences come into being when we sin. and we ought not be surprised at them, but they're there to wake us up to the fact that we are truly sinful and we really need a Savior, because many times we just can't help ourselves.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We'll take a break here with him. I'm intrigued at the way that they lie to their father. They never actually come out and tell him what happened. They just show him a bloody robe. We found this. Is this? Could this be your son's robe, maybe? And they let him draw his own conclusion. They are so gutless that they won't even come up with a decent lie for their father to cover what they have done to Joseph. We'll talk more about that on the other side of the break. Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. You'll find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Why do the gospel accounts differ? Why did Jesus use parables? Are there demon-possessed people today? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August is the big book of New Testament questions and answers. You can find out more at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. The Big Book of New Testament Questions and Answers is written by Dr. Michael Eschelbach of Concordia University, Irvine, California. The Big Book of New Testament Questions and Answers.
In my family, education means cultivating wisdom and virtue by teaching what is good, true, and beautiful. Memoria Press makes this type of education possible with their classical Christian curriculum. Characterized by simplicity, quality, and affordability, Memoria Press gives my children a rich classical education. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Repentance and forgiveness, sin and grace, law and gospel. More than cliches, real preaching for real people in need of hearing the real Christ. Christ for You and the Divine Service at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, where we gather every Saturday night at 6 and on the Lord's Day, Sunday mornings at 7:45 and 10. Look for the Church of the Neon Cross on I-55 between exits 30 and 33. Find us on the web, stpaullutheranchurchhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, where there is the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for the people of God.
Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.
In a flash, the brothers changed their plan.
We didn't cut the salad in with hand.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're talking about Joseph and his brothers in Genesis chapter 37, teaching a Sunday school lesson. Tom, they don't actually lie to, they lie. There's no doubt about that. But they lie in such a clever way so as to let Joseph just make up the lie and draw his own conclusions. Talk about that. I'm sorry, Jacob to make up the lie and draw his own conclusions.
Right. They say, please identify whether it is your son's robe or not, as though they had a whole closet full of these robes. And he identifies it probably because in that day, believe it or not, the men did the weaving. And so it's possible that Jacob had made this robe for his son Joseph. And then he jumps to the conclusion, because of all the blood, a fierce animal has devoured him. Joseph is without doubt torn to pieces. So then he tears his garments, puts sackcloth on his loins, and mourns for his son many days. And look, it says the sons and his daughters rose to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. I find that very interesting. The daughters don't know what's going on, but the sons do know. And they could have comforted him by saying, you know, he's really not dead, and we'll go find him. We'll go to Egypt and even bring him back for you. But they don't. It shows how deep, when you fall into sin, that one person goes. And by the way, for those people who don't think that the Old Testament teaches a life after death, what Jacob then says, I shall go down to Sheol to my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. So he knows he's going to see Joseph again, but until he does, he's going to be in a state of mourning. And one can only guess how hard-hearted are the sons to allow him to keep on mourning.
So we stop at that place. Moses tells us that in the meantime, Joseph is taken by the Midianites down to Egypt, and he is sold into Pharaoh's household, so to speak, an officer of Pharaoh, Potiphar by name, captain of Pharaoh's guard. So the most trusted man in Pharaoh's household, basically his personal bodyguard. Right there, what are we being kind of given a picture, a foreshadowing of? That Joseph, while betrayed by his brothers, actually, even in slavery, ends up in a really, really, really good position down in Egypt.
Yes, he does. He's in a rich household, and of course, Potiphar really appreciates him. But then he gets in trouble with Potiphar's wife, and that leads him to prison, and he's in a bad situation. He interprets two dreams for a butler and a baker. Unfortunately, the baker dies. I don't like that part of the Bible. But then, being Tom Baker, and then he gets out of prison and is able to tell the dream of the Pharaoh. And there he really helps him out for 14 years, and then his family comes. We'll be kind of taking a look at that, but I'd like to still go back to this and talk about some similarities I found.
Okay, yeah, with about, you got about 3-4 minutes to do the, you teased this before, the Jesus-Joseph parallels, if you would.
Yes, the first thing is very interesting how no sin is mentioned of Joseph in chapter 37. And so I began to think, if the whole Bible is about Jesus and all of this is pointing forward to the kind of Savior we need, are there any similarities here? Well, in verse 2, Joseph gives bad reports about his brothers. In other words, he shows where they are sinning. Jesus, his own disciples, he tells, get thee behind me, Satan, because of their bad report. Jacob loves Joseph because he's the first begotten of Rachel. God the Father loves Jesus, the only begotten, in whom I am well pleased. The robe of many colors probably indicates a royalty, which Jesus, of course, was dressed in at his transfiguration. King of kings, Lord of lords. His brothers hated him. That's verse 4. While many in Judaism hated him, like the unbelieving Pharisees, Joseph had a dream, and he said what was going to be the future. Jesus talks about coming on the clouds of heaven and judging the whole world, and many other things he said, and people just got really, isn't this a carpenter's son? Joseph is rebuked by the father. In Genesis 37:10, Jesus is rebuked by his mother and brothers. Father kept the saying in mind, though. Mary pondered these things in her heart. The brothers conspired to kill Joseph. The Jews conspired to kill Jesus. Joseph was stripped of his robe. Jesus was stripped of his clothing. Joseph was handed over to Gentiles. Jesus was handed over to Gentile Romans. Joseph was sold for 20 silver shekels. Interesting, Jesus was sold to Judas for 30 silver pieces. This whole chart, and by the way, if anybody would like to have a copy, they can email me at lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com, and I'll send it free to them in the email. But this is only a few of the similarities. You can't read Joseph without looking forward to Jesus with the many similarities. And finally, the most important one, where in Genesis 50, what does Joseph say? You meant evil against me, God meant it for good. Where did Jesus say that? From the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Like Joseph, no hint of revenge, but instead mercy and grace. We as Christians are to follow Jesus. We are unable to do so perfectly because of our old Adam. But when we see that we become like the brothers of Joseph, we repent of our sins, turn to Jesus, who then looks at every one of us and says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Next week he'll be with us for a Sunday school lesson on Joseph's troubles in Genesis 39. Tom, thanks for being our guest.
And thank you, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to discuss Jesus cleansing 10 lepers from Luke chapter 17. Pastor David Peterson will be our guest as we look forward to Sunday morning, according to the historic lectionary. We'll also respond to an evangelical proof text. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will be with us. And we're going to begin a brand new weekly series. I've been looking forward to this with Pastor Jonathan Fisk on Christianity and pop culture. That's all tomorrow on Issues Etc. Well, it has to be that this promise is sustaining Joseph. It has to be that in the end, what he hears in that promise is not so much about what God is going to do with him, but ultimately what God is going to do for the world with his own son, Jesus Christ. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Emmanuel Lutheran, Alexandria, Virginia. Bethel Lutheran, Ballinger, Texas. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Eola, Texas. Beautiful Savior Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California. Lord of Life Lutheran, Plano, Texas. Christ Lutheran, Platte Woods, Missouri. Hope Lutheran, Sonora, Texas. Faith Lutheran, Azona, Texas. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Steger, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.